Well, we're back in Luke, as you can tell. We've had a few weeks where we've been doing a few other things, looking at the Bible, sort of more looking at topics. Now we're back in Luke as we gradually work our way through Luke over what's going to be, quite a long time. But we're now in Luke chapter 12, and it's good to be back into the book of Luke. I also want to say, if you're a Pathfinder and you're in, great to have you in with us. Pathfinders, so those 11 upwards, are in with us. So great, well done that you're here too. And of course, this message, this passage is just as much for you as it is for everyone else. So be listening to what God has to say to you too. A big theme of this passage that we've just had read is the fear of men. The way other people think of us has an enormous influence on the way that we behave, doesn't it? I would imagine for almost everyone here, already today, the way other people think of you has influenced what you have done and what you have said. I would think, looking around, that the way that you dress has probably been influenced by the way other people will think of you. Maybe for there are some here, I'm not looking at anyone, for whom that isn't true. But I think for most of it, that is the case. And even what you said as you came in, you'd have been very conscious of what other people thought of you. And maybe there are some here who, after today's service, will go home and will be thinking back over, what did I say? How did other people think about what I said? There was a psychology experiment once, where what they did was they got a whole room full of people, and they showed them two lines, one of which was clearly longer than the other. I might have told you about this one before, but one line was clearly longer than the other. And they said to everyone to say which was the longer line. But they, beforehand, told everyone, apart from one person, to give the wrong answer, to see what that one person would do. And what did that one person do? Well, of course, they went along with the crowd. Even though they could see that the line was shorter, they put their hand up to say it was longer. And as they repeated that experiment, they found, in the vast majority of cases, that's what people do. They will even say the opposite of what they think is right, because everyone else is saying it. Now, of course, there are a whole load of factors in that experiment, but it is interesting, isn't it? The way other people's view of us, what other people are doing, what other people are saying, influence us. And that's true. That's just as true, isn't it? For when we're going to talk to people about Jesus, what's one of the biggest factors as to why maybe we don't say things when we know we should? Well, it's going to be what other people think of us, isn't it? That we don't want to be thought of as weird, as fanatics, as Jesus creeps, as Bible bashers. We don't want to have those kind of labels, so we kind of keep quiet. And what's the real thing behind that? Well, it's fear of people, isn't it? We'll quite happily talk about church. We might talk about being Christians. Okay, those things aren't particularly cool, but, you know, you can kind of get away with them. But if you were to say, well, I'm a follower of Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. He's my Saviour. I follow him. I love him. Oh, the alarm bells are ringing then, aren't they? People will think you're loopy. So, of course, we'd rather back off that kind of conversation. And we keep quiet. I know that's the temptation in my heart. I'm sure it is true for you too. Well, there are four things in this passage, four reasons in the passage not to fear men. Four reasons not to fear people. Let me just set the scene for you. Jesus has just spoken against the Pharisees and teachers of the law. If you remember a few weeks back, I did the thing with the T-shirt. Very smart on the outside, but underneath, we know we're all sinful. If you're not sure what the thing with the T-shirt is, ask me afterwards. And the point of that was that the Pharisees and teachers of the law, they were all about the externals. They were all about the appearances and about what other people thought of them. But actually, they weren't about what's on the inside and about the sin and the corruption and the horribleness of inside us. And they weren't about that. They were just about what they looked like and about what other people thought of them. And Jesus very strongly warns the disciples in verse 1. So he's got the crowd around him, but he's speaking first to the disciples. End of verse 1, he says, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. What's the problem with the Pharisees? They're all about the outward appearance. They're all about what people think of them, and not about what's actually genuinely inside. And it's interesting, Jesus speaks very strongly and very carefully to say, be on your guard. Now I take it he's saying that because they need to be on their guard. That hypocrisy is something that we could slip into. And that it can happen to any one of us. So we need to take this warning too. We need to be on our guard as well. Well, what's the first thing? What's the first reason that we have for not fearing men? Don't fear people. First, don't fear people. What's the worst they can do? What's the worst they can do? Do you remember a while back there was the ad campaign, wasn't there, for Dr. Pepper, which was, what's the worst that can happen? In those ads, it's a slightly odd ad, but it obviously worked because I remembered it. This, what's the worst that could happen? So in the advert, you then see someone drinking a Dr. Pepper, do you remember? And then afterwards, ridiculously awful things happen to that person. It's an odd way of advertising, isn't it? Because the suggestion is, well, what's the worst that could happen? Maybe if you do drink a Dr. Pepper, those horrible things will happen. But that's not the point. The point was, actually, come on, give Dr. Pepper a go. What's the worst that could happen? Now, as it turns out, I tried it and it's revolting. But maybe you like it. But that was the point, wasn't it? What's the worst that could happen? And actually, one of the things that Jesus says to his followers is, yes, people may be against you if you speak about Jesus. And actually, the context here is about speaking about Christ and standing up and confessing Christ. But one of his points there is, what's the worst that can happen? What's the worst they can do? Let me show you it from the passage. So verse 2 there, it says, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you've said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. So what's Jesus saying there? He's saying there will come a day when everything will be laid bare. All hypocrisy will be revealed. It will all be shown. Every conversation that you have had. I don't know about you, but that's a daunting prospect, isn't it? Every little conversation, every whispered conversation. Every conversation where you think, well, it's just me and them. I mean, no one else knows. Will all be laid bare. And in the context of that idea of that day, that judgment day, Jesus says, verse 4, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after the killing of the body, has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Clear contrast Jesus is making, isn't it? But what he's saying is, look, what's the worst that can happen? What really is the worst that people can do to you? Just have a think. Those people who, and I'm sure we've each got them, people where we would say, you know what, I'd sort of happily talk to almost anyone else about Jesus apart from them. What is the worst they could possibly do to you? Jesus is saying. Well, actually Jesus is saying, well, yeah, the worst they can do to you is pretty nasty, isn't it? I mean, the very worst they could do is kill you. And that's not nice. Yet that is the worst they could do. Now, I don't think there are many people here who are frightened for their lives for speaking of Christ. Of course, there are people around the world for whom that is true. But I don't think that's true of you or me. I'm not frightened of that. But there are things that we are frightened of, aren't they? That people will, that we fear being ostracized. That people will just think, oh, they're just loony. Talking about Jesus. We fear that relationships will suddenly grow cold. People that we love, that we've been close to, that we start talking about Jesus and all of a sudden there'll be a coldness there and I won't be able to relate to them in that way. Maybe you do fear that if you spoke out about Jesus that you might lose your job. Maybe that's a fear that you've got. And certainly for more and more people that could be the case. Okay, well, yeah, those things are bad. I mean, if you put them on a list, yeah, they're not nice things. But they're not the worst that could happen, are they? I mean, the very worst that could happen is described for you here. So Jesus says, yeah, no, don't fear those people with all those things they can do. Rather, fear God. Why? Because after the killing of the body, he has the power to throw you into hell. I mean, if you stack up all those things people can do, and you stack up what God can do, there's no comparison, is there? What God can do well, would be far worse, far more horrible. Jesus is saying, look, just take a step back here and say, well, objectively, who should you fear? People or God? With God, that's obvious. Jesus, God has far more power. And the Bible does say we are to have a right kind of fear. It's not a terror. It's not being terrified of God. But it is an awe, a respect, a sort of just amazement at the power God has. You can imagine that if you've ever been right next to a really tall building or a really big ship or really big mountain that you've seen, you've just been in awe of that thing. You just, your own, the smallness of you, you just feel really small in comparison. It's that kind of awe of God that we should have. And I think generally it's the older folks in our congregation who will say, we've got to be really careful that we don't lose that awe and respect of God. Not saying that God isn't intimate and close and personal, of course he is, but there should be that awe and respect of God, and we mustn't lose that. We must have the right kind of fear, and we must sort of step back and say, weigh up that fear. Who should you fear? People or God? Well, obviously God. You see, the thing is, becoming a Christian is costly. To speak out for Christ could be costly. At school, or at work, or in your family, wherever it may be, it could be costly. But you know what? Not being a Christian, not following Jesus, is far, far more costly, isn't it? Our problem is, in weighing this up, the fear of man is more immediate, isn't it? The thing is, the people that I'm afraid of speaking to about Jesus, they're the people I'm going to see tomorrow. And I don't know when Judgment Day will be, and maybe years away. Maybe, you know, maybe I don't meet God for years and years. But the person I'm afraid of is there tomorrow. And we are immediate people. We kind of buy now, pay later people, aren't we? We want things easy now, and, well, we'll put off and we'll forget about the future. But Jesus says, don't do that. Weigh things up properly. And maybe for some here, it is the fear of men that means you haven't become a Christian. Well, again, step back, do that weighing up. Who should you fear? Well, that's the first point. Second point. Don't fear people. God loves you. You see, if it were just that first point, that would be fairly bleak, wouldn't it? It would just be saying, well, you know, who are you going to be more, you know, who are you going to fear more? Well, the one who can do nasty things to you now, or the one who can throw you into hell. Well, obviously it should be God, but that's not a great motivation, is it? That's not filling you with great joy to go out and speak of Christ. But the second point is, don't fear people, because God does love you. It says, verse 6, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Well, we would say no. But they were then. Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid, you're worth more than many sparrows. You see, the point is, back then, in the marketplace, what's the cheapest thing you could get? What's the cheapest bit of meat you could get? It is the sparrow. And Jesus is saying, look, I mean, they weren't 2 a penny, they were, what were they, 2.5 a penny. You get 5 for 2p, it's just really cheap. They're worthless things. Who gives a second thought about them? God does. God loves them. God cares for them. God knows what's going on with them. God doesn't forget about them. And you are worth far more than many sparrows, not just 5 or whatever. You're worth far more. And so Jesus is saying, God loves you. He cares for you. And in a way, this cuts to the heart of our fears, doesn't it? The question is really this. Do I really trust that God will care for me, even if people hate me for saying about something about Jesus? Do I really trust God that if I lose my job for saying something about Jesus, that he can provide for me, for my family? Do I actually trust God? Will I cast myself onto him if I'm in that situation and trust him, or will I back off from speaking about him? And more Christians are wary of what speaking up for Christ will mean. Interesting, talking to teachers, particularly about how they're about their witness at schools, and how more and more just wary of, you know, what do I say? How do I say it? Could I get into trouble if I speak about Jesus? If I speak up for the gospel? Well, we do need to be wise, and this isn't easy. We do need to be wise about what we say. We don't want to invite trouble. But actually, there is a danger that we will say, well, you know what, there's trouble coming, so therefore I'll back off, and I'll back off, and I'll back off. And the danger is that we end up just not saying anything about Jesus. And Jesus says, don't fear people. Don't fear what they can do. What's the worst they can do? And remember, I love you. And I will provide for you. Even if the worst happened, God still loves you and will provide. So that's the second. Third point. Don't fear people. It's Jesus' verdict that counts. You've got to know whose opinion matters, don't you? If you've ever watched The Apprentice, some of the tasks that they do on The Apprentice, they're generally quite fun tasks, slightly bizarre tasks, but one of them often is that they've got to go in and they've got to try to haggle down on prices. And sometimes you see the apprentices go in and they go into a shop and they're talking to the person behind the counter and they speak to that person and they say, you know, they're trying to get the price down and down and down. And they find out after half an hour that the person behind the counter just has no power to reduce the price anyway. They're just talking to the wrong person. They needed to ask for the manager and talk to that person. You see, you've got to know whose opinion counts. You've got to know who you should be talking to and whose opinion really matters. And here Jesus is saying, well, you know what? It's his opinion that really matters. Have a look at verse 8. It says, I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. It's an incredible picture, isn't it? That sort of end time picture. When who is gathered there but all the angels of heaven? And you're called up before them. And can you imagine Jesus saying, before all the angels of heaven, Jesus saying, yeah, this is my servant. He, she, this is my servant. And they stood for me, proclaimed that they were mine. Yeah, they got into trouble for it, but they stood up for the truth. They weren't ashamed to be called my followers. They weren't ashamed to be known as people who follow Jesus. Wouldn't you love to be there with Jesus saying that of you in front of all those hosts of heaven? And Jesus is saying, I will do that for you if you confess me before people. See, around the world there are those for whom confessing Christ is very costly. I read this morning on the Barnabas Fund website. Speaks of an Iranian pastor called Saeed, I'm going to get his name wrong, Saeed Abedini, I think his name is. He said this, it is through suffering and tribulation that we are to enter the kingdom of God. That's a quote from the Bible. Saeed Abedini wrote this. He wrote it in a letter from a prison in Iran, where he's been threatened, beaten and tortured. The Iranian-American pastor was detained in September 2012, while on a visit to his homeland. He was jailed for 8 years for planting house churches after his conversion from Islam to Christianity. His wife, seriously concerned for his health following repeated attacks, and has been told that unless he returns to Islam, he will not be released even after serving his sentence. Amazing, isn't it? That guy, and all for planting churches, something that in this country, I mean, what's the worst trouble you get into? You might get into trouble with the bishop. But that's it. And yet there, he's in prison for having done so. And yet, can you imagine, on that great day, he will be brought up. Saeed, come up. You weren't ashamed to speak of me and to go to prison for me. Imagine Jesus saying that of him. And wouldn't you love to be alongside him and go, yeah, okay, I wasn't in that situation, but I spoke for Jesus with friends, with family. Now, I don't know about you, but the temptation is, when you hear of someone like Saeed, is to think to yourself, well, I'm not sure if I was in that situation that I could do that. And so you can end up feeling a bit bad, but there he is going through all that, and you think, would I have the guts to do that? I was speaking to someone from an organization called Release International, who tried to support persecuted Christians throughout the world. And he was saying, when you hear of stories like that, you shouldn't be discouraged, you should be encouraged. Why? Because, he said, don't forget, those people, that pastor, is no different from you or me. He has just the same fears you or I have. He feels just the same as you and I do. He's not a super Christian. He's not above fear. He is just like you and me. And so why should you be encouraged? Well, because God has given him the strength to go through what he's going through. And if God can do it for him, he could do it for you if you were in that situation. And he can do it for you now in the situation you are in. So be encouraged. Speak for Christ. Don't be afraid of people. Of course, there is the warning there as well that if we deny Jesus, if we say, I'm not a follower of Jesus, if we just blanket, we never say anything about Jesus, that we'll be disowned before the angel of God.
This isn't saying that if we make a mess of it once, that's it. Clearly that's not the case. I mean, you've got an example like Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. And yet we know he was restored, don't we? We know that Peter, the Apostle Peter, was restored, and that he was okay. So this isn't saying that if you make a mess of it once, that's it, you'll be denied before the angel of God. It's more saying, look, as a general trend, throughout your life, are you prepared to stand up for being a Christian? And I think that's the point, then, that we get into this slightly tricky verse of verse 10. Have a look at this. It says, and everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Now, there are Christians who get into an awful tangle on this one. You can get Christians who get very, very worked up saying, I think maybe I've committed to blasphemy against the Holy Spirit.
Generally, and commentators would agree on this, if you think you might have committed it and you're worried about it, you haven't committed it. Because people who, it's only people who couldn't care less who might have committed it. So what is it? What is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit that he's talking about? We don't have long to get into this. Let me just give you a little bit from a guy called Graham Cole, who wrote a whole article on this very helpfully. He says, in sum, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is that self-righteous, persistent refusal to embrace the offer of salvation in Christ. It is to set one's face against the Spirit's testimony to Christ as the Son of Man with the authority to forgive sins. The problem is the human heart settled in opposition to God. So I think what he's saying there is, what Jesus is saying is, look, if you speak against the Son of Man, if you say bad things about Jesus, yeah, you can be forgiven. But actually, what the Spirit does is the Spirit tries to take Christ and apply Christ to your heart and to say, look, he really is the Son of God. You really can be forgiven by Jesus. And if we, throughout our lives, persistently say, no, I'm going to reject that, I'm going to ignore that, I'm not going to speak for Christ, I'm not going to be one of his, I'm going to reject that, then that is a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, for which you can't be forgiven, because the only way to be forgiven is to come to Christ. And you're rejecting doing that. We could talk about that more afterwards. See, it is the heart settled in opposition to God, and therefore before men persistently denying Jesus. So, this is saying, don't fear men, it's Jesus' verdict that counts on Judgment Day. Last one. Don't fear people. Getting the hint? Don't fear people. The Holy Spirit will help you speak. This is so encouraging. Lastly, Jesus' encouragement is, in the face of opposition, it is the Spirit who will help you know what to say. That's what it's saying at the end of the passage, isn't it? Verse 11, when you're brought before synagogue rulers, notice it's going to be, he's expecting religious opposition here. When you're brought before the synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. See, the great encouragement there is God saying, don't worry about people. I mean, and this can be one of our biggest fears, can't it? It can be, well, I don't know what I would say. What if this person, I'd speak to them and they say something to me, they ask me a question, I haven't got a clue what the answer is. What if I get in there and I say something about Jesus, but it all comes out wrong? Jesus is saying, don't worry. Don't fear people, because God himself, the Holy Spirit, will help you know what to say. Don't go by your feelings. You see, beforehand you'll feel anxious, you'll feel nervous. What am I going to say? Ooh, here's an opportunity to speak of Jesus. During it, you feel panicked. Afterwards, you probably feel fairly inadequate for what you've said. But in the end, what you've got to do is just trust it over to God and say, God, look, I trust you that actually you've got across what you wanted to get across. I've tried. I've done my best there. I can learn how to do it better. But God, I trust you that you've done what you want to do there in that situation. And I trust you for the outcome. Don't fear people, but rather, let's go out and trust what God says here. Trust God that we don't need to fear people, but that we can trust him, that he loves us, that he's with us, that he will acknowledge us on that great day, and that he will help us to speak. And therefore we need to do this wherever we are this week. Now, no, you don't need to go out and sort of stand, right, okay, everyone, office, gather together, I've got something to say, I've got an announcement to make. Get your Bible out, start to preach. You don't have to do that. But it could be in the one-to-ones, couldn't it? Those little opportunities that God gives you during the week with that one person, whoever it may be, relative, friend, colleague, whoever it is, to say, actually, will you take that opportunity? Will you stand out as being mine in what you say? Well, let's try to encourage one another to keep going at that. Because I don't know about you, but that's a daunting task, isn't it? Well, let's keep going at it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray, please, that you would help us not to fear people. Father, please, would you help all of us, whether we're at school, at college, at university, at work, at home, retired, whatever stage we're at, Father, please help us to stand for Christ and be willing to confess Christ before others. Father, please give us the resolve, the boldness, to do this. Amen.